Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service this morning. We're delighted to welcome Reverend Brian Porteous, who's going to lead us in worship today. Brian has come all the way from Cooper to join us this morning, and Brian is the moderator of Fife Presbytery and an ordained local minister, is that right? So we're delighted to have him with us this morning. There will be tea and coffee after worship today, so please stay if you can. Norman's still on holiday, so pastoral cover at the minute has been undertaken by Alistair. Oh, just till tomorrow. Get to stand, I've just noticed it's the 29th tomorrow. The next joint service is next Sunday, 4th of August, at Kincardine at 11 a.m. There's no service at Cairn Hill next Sunday, and please, if you're looking for a lift or car share, can you please arrange your own transport, because it'll be easier to do during the summer holiday period, because it's awkward parking at Kincardine. So if you can chum up in cars, that would be helpful, but please arrange that between yourselves. We plan to issue a late summer newsletter towards the end of August, and Derek's getting very desperate to have contributions. So the deadline for receipt of content is the 11th of August, so please get our thinking caps on to put stuff in our church newsletter. Next KIPP session is Wednesday, 14th of August at 7 p.m. It's a wee while away yet, but session clerks are planning. let's see what else there is. I think everything else is later on. So I'll maybe just mention The Well, which is a new project that's come to use our premises here at Cairney Hill. So it's a Fife Health and Social Care Partnership project, and they're coming in on Friday, 16th of August. They were here this Friday. They're coming back on the 16th of August to set up a wee pop-in centre here in the church, and they're here to support individually for people lonely, for independent care, families that are concerned about others, financial support, health, any health and well-being matter, they will give advice or signpost on to other organisations. So, see, they were here on Friday, they enjoyed their visit here, they're lovely. So just to get the word out, there's one or two leaflets in the vestibule, so just to get the word out on the wire there that it's a service. They're testing out a few Fridays, and if it's a success, they'll maybe have a permanent position on a Friday with us, which would be lovely. So just to get that out on the wire. So I think that's everything just now. Thank you. So thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Rosemary. Good morning. And a very warm welcome to worship this morning. Thank you for the warmth of your welcome to me. And thank you for switching on the summer for that rare day this year. It's so nice to be here and to be here and see your wonderfully modernised place of worship. It's lovely. So it's great to be here and to come and join with you in worshipping God. And I bring with me greetings from the presbytery, as I am the presbytery moderator, and I'm trying to get to as many churches in the presbytery as I can in this period of the year that I serve as moderator. I'm not doing too badly. I don't think I'll get to everywhere, but I'm trying to get to as many as possible. So we come to worship God, and as we do so, I'm going to read some verses from the Psalms, and I'm going to read them from the Message version of the Bible. And this is Psalm 34 in the first six verses. I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news. Together, let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of a tight spot. And so, with these words ringing in our ears, let us come to worship God as we sing our first hymn, which is 160, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven.
Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for all your many gifts to us. And in our offerings made today and during this past week, we give back but a small part of what you've given us. Use these offerings for the growth of your kingdom as you use us for your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And let us continue in prayer. Let us pray. Living and loving God, we've come together to worship you, to meet here with Christ, not simply because we feel we should do, nor because it's expected of us, but because we want to praise you. We've come not merely to share fellowship with one another, nor just meet with friends, but to encounter you. Help us to bring you our heartfelt worship, to reflect on you and not ourselves, to think about your love rather than our problems, to seek your will for us rather than our expectations of you. Help us to draw close to you, rejoicing in your presence, receiving your love, reviving our faith. Help us to put aside everything that comes between us, our foolish deeds, our trivial concerns, our evil desires. Loving God, there's so much in our lives that's not as it should be, not as it could be, not as it would be, if only we walked more closely with you. Forgive us the unkind words, the thoughtless actions, and unworthy thoughts that deny our faith. Forgive us the lack of devotion, lack of faith, lack of love that demean your name. Loving God, we gather together in the name of Christ. Assure us as we worship you of the forgiveness, the guidance, the love, and the life you offer through him. Meet with us now, we pray. So may we worship you, not just through our words, but in our lives, not merely now, but always, not simply here, but everywhere, to the glory of your name. Amen. And now we pray together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. When I was training as a reader, I was taking worship in a small church called West Quarter Church, not far from Falkirk. And I went in the back door to the session room and met the session clerk. And you ask questions like, how does the microphone, the usual, how does the microphone work, Derek? And all these things. And I said, no, it was fine. And I said, what about kids? What about children? Oh, she said, sometimes yes, sometimes no. She said, but tell you what, she said, give us the children's talk anyway. Because that's usually the bit we understand. So here's the children's talk. I brought my picnic. And there were two children down at Limecombs, and I was just asking them what you would have in a good picnic. Well, this is my sort of good picnic. Sandwich. Packet crisps. Healthy ones. I'm just saying that because my wife thinks I should eat healthy things like that. Healthy yogurt, Alpro. No, yeah, I like Alpro yogurts. Fruit. When I asked the children, what else would you have? One of them said, vegetables. Oh, the message is getting through. Fruit. And of course,
a biscuit. Now, it would, for me, it would normally be a Camel wafer, although they're banned in our house, and I have to smuggle them in. And I don't like Rocky Robins, but it was the only one I could find this morning to bring to you. And the reason I was sharing that story with the children this morning was, can you imagine yourselves? You're sitting on the hillside, you're a wee boy, and you've come with your picnic. And you're just about to tuck into your loaves and fishes. And suddenly this big man comes behind you and says, "Hello, son. I need your loaves and fishes." Now, if somebody came and said to me, "Hello, son, I need your picnic," would I be wanting to give him the picnic? I don't think so. I'd be saying, "Hang on a minute." But then I'm from the west of Scotland. So the little boy's sitting there, and one of Jesus' disciples, Philip, comes along and said, "I need your loaves and your fishes." And the wee boy doesn't say in the Bible whether he gave them willingly or not. We assume he gave them willingly. I don't think he had much choice. And then the remarkable thing is, you know, if I started to share this picnic out with you, I wouldn't get very far, would I, even with the numbers that are here. But of course, Jesus, he was sort of frustrated with Philip and his disciples because, okay, we'll need to feed them. They've not got any food. They've come, they're out of the town. They can't get back for their tea. It's taken them a long time to get here. There's 5,000 of them. But I'm Jesus. Have faith. Have faith. I can do it. And he did. He took these loaves and fishes that the wee boy had, and he shared them out with the 5,000. The disciples shared them out with the 5,000. And there was plenty left over at the end. And it's a remark, you know, it's a story we all know, of course. A story we've heard so often. And yet, it's really remarkable when you think of what was achieved. When you think of, it's difficult for preachers when they come across stories that everybody knows, because you've heard this preached thousands of times before, many of you. And yet, when you read that story again, the thing that struck me as I was preparing for this service was Jesus was concerned just with the day-to-day things of our lives, the mundane things, like feeding the 5,000 that were there to hear him talk and preach. And so he's concerned about the mundane things. And we don't give him credit for the power that he has. And it's important to do that. And that's the message of that first of the two miracles that we'll talk about this morning. That's the one I shared down the hill with the others. We're now going to sing our next hymn, and if I get up here, I'll find out what it is, which is As the Deer Pants for the Water, and it's hymn 550 in the hymn book, if you're using the hymn book, but on the screens. Thank you. Thank you.
John chapter 6, reading verse 1 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000 and walks on water. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in his mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus walks on the water. When the evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water. They were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 3, reading verses 14 to 21, a prayer for the Ephesians. "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide, long, and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." Amen.
Thank you. As we come to focus on the Word of God in these passages of Scripture, let us sing our next hymn, which is Graham Kendrick's great hymn, "Beauty for Brokenness," 259 in the hymn book.
Despair, Lord, in my suffering, be still.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. The Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Edward, was the Lord High Commissioner at the General Assembly of the Church of Scotland in May this year. I know Derek was there. And on the first day of the General Assembly, the moderator was preaching on building your house on sand. And when Prince Edward had to speak, he said, "Moderator, I have a confession." He said, "Our house, Sophie and me, is built on sand. Just happens to be in part of Surrey where there are underlying sands." And he said, in fact, he said the house was used as a place for training army chaplains at one time. And he said, and it's still standing on the sand. But he said, in front of the house, there is a pond. And the story goes that there was a sign in the middle of this pond when the army chaplains were there that said, "Please do not try walking on the water." And that, of course, provoked the same response as your response. And so today we have a tale of two miracles, not just one, but two. The lectionary readings for today are about these two miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus walking on water. And they are, of course, stories that are widely known, not just in the church, but beyond the church. And taken together, I think they have something profound and important to say to us about Jesus' power and the critical importance of us having faith in him. It's always difficult, as I said earlier, when you get well-known passages, for a minister to get something new out of them. This might not be new, but I've looked at these afresh, both these stories, the feeding of the 5,000 and the walking on water. And as I said, the thing that struck me most about the feeding of the 5,000 was just the mundaneness of Jesus' attention, or Jesus' attention to the mundaneness of simply feeding the people that were there. And of course, they needed fed. I always sense that he's a bit frustrated by the disciples, often, but particularly here. He asks Philip the question. He says, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" Now, Jesus knew the answer to that question, but he was sort of testing Philip at that point and saying, "And you should know too. You should know too that we are going to get that bread through my power." Jesus was testing him, and he knew what he was going to do. He was going to share that little boy's picnic. He was saying to Philip and to the rest of his disciples, "Have faith, Philip. I'll get it sorted. Have faith, Philip. I'll get it sorted." And so to the second miracle, the walking on the water. As Sheena, my wife, and I waited on the pier at Lochmaddy in North Uist, the rain, as it often does in the Western Isles, was coming more or less horizontally. And the wind was, we reckoned, about 4-6. Now, my wife's not a good sailor. And the Minch, over which we were about to cross back to Uigonskaya, takes about 2 hours. It didn't look too enticing. The question was, will we take the quells now, or will we wait until we get on board the boat before we take the quells? Well, of course, the Calmac Hebrides docked. That's not something that happens too much at the moment, if I read the press, but it docked, and we were loaded on, and we set off. And as you go out of Lochmaddy, you go out through Sea Loch, and there was a slight breeze as we got onto the Minch. But they always make they always have these understated warnings, you know. They immediately come on the tannoy and say, "We expect a light breeze, 4-6, a light breeze when we're out in the Minch. Please make sure you hold on for dear life, brackets, when you're walking around the ship." But of course, after a few sways on the way out, the boat sailed smoothly across to Uig. We needn't have worried. And the stories of Jesus calming the storm and or walking on the water appear in various parts of the Gospels. This version from John is probably the simplest of these stories. All the passages, though, have clear messages. Do not be afraid. Have faith in me. I am with you. Do not be afraid. Have faith in me. I am with you. My favorite version of walking on the water in the Bible is from Matthew 14. Jesus is walking on the waves to the disciples in the boat. And again he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then Peter goes out to meet him, walking on the water. Peter goes out with his eyes focused on Jesus, walking on the water. And then his doubts affect him. And what happens? Splash. He has to be rescued by Jesus. And I love that story because Peter, throughout the Bible, is so like us. Isn't he? He's so like us. He has so many doubts. And yet he's got such great enthusiasm for Jesus. His faith failed him, and he plunged into the water. O you of little faith, Jesus said on that occasion. You know, all the Hebrides captain had to do as we sailed out into the Minch was throw a switch and the stabilizers came on, and we sailed calmly to our journey's end. My guess is that Jesus does the same, did the same, does the same. These two stories challenge us to believe that. They challenge the disciples' faith, and they challenge our faith today. Doubts about Jesus' power certainly emerge in times of crisis, especially when we face illness, redundancy, family breakdown, the loss of loved ones, and so many other things that afflict our stability of our human experience and existence. However, the weaknesses exhibited by Jesus' disciples in today's stories encourage us to persist despite these doubts about God's saving presence in our lives. Jesus has been with his people, us, for more than 2,000 years. And yet today, like his disciples, we always underestimate his power. His power to calm the storms in our lives. It's a question of trust. A few years ago, I think it was 2011, I was at the World Orienteering Championships. I've been president of the International Orienteering Federation in the French Alps, Aix-les-Bains. And at all these world championships, you always, as a VIP guest and the media, you get a race to run in for you and hospitality afterwards. A few glasses of wine or a beer, whatever. And our French host said, Brian, on this occasion, we'll have the race and we'll have hospitality, but before that, we've got something special for one or two chosen people to do. So up we go, up to the top of the we're above Aix-les-Bains, if any of you know the French Alps, Aix-les-Bains in the French Alps. So 500 metres of cliff, Aix-les-Bains, down the bottom. We're on the top. And I begin to worry, because they were keeping this a great secret. They said, and this is Jack. Now, Jack was a paraglider. And they said, and you know how you get trapped into these things where you can't say no? I was in that situation, I couldn't say no. And so Jacques, I was to paraglide in a tandem paragliding jump off this 500 meter cliff. I'm not too good with heights. And Jacques wasn't too good with English. Anyway, he said, we got strapped in together, so that was easy. And the parachute's out behind us. 50 meters of grass, 500 meters of cliff. And he says, Brian, when I say run, we run. If I say stop, we stop. So I look at this 50 meters of grass and think, I hope he doesn't say stop. So we did. We ran. And something quite remarkable happened. Something totally remarkable happened. You're beginning to think, what happened then? He said stop. No, he didn't say stop. We got to the edge, and we went over the edge, and we went up. We didn't go down, because it was such a warm day. It was a lovely summer's day, and the thermals were coming up. So we went up, and we soared with the eagles that were flying around these cliffs, and my fear disappeared, and my trust in Jack was immense. I hadn't any choice at this point, of course. And we came down. I wish I could say we had a lovely, graceful landing in the stubble field down in Aix-les-Bains. We didn't. We ended up in a heap because we hadn't practiced. He hadn't told me what to do with the landing, so we ended up in a heap. But it was a remarkable experience. It's always reminded me of just, I had no choice there.
but to trust in Jacques. And I did. And I was lifted up into the air by these thermals. And, you know, the two stories that we've read from Scripture this morning of these two miracles tell us to trust in Jesus just like that. Trust in Jesus just like that. And for the day-to-day things in our lives. And also, of course, when things get stormy or tough. Thankfully, most of us don't have to face real storms that face some of the people trying to get to this country and to other countries across the channel in small boats. And I had a friend when I was on the Ministries Council in the Church of Scotland, Jane Howitt, who is a minister at St. Roloch's Church in Glasgow. If you know St. Roloch's Church, Springburn in Glasgow is at the heart of a refugee and asylum seeker area in Glasgow, and she has many asylum seekers and refugees in her congregation. And she quotes Raheel, who had come across in a small boat. And he tells his story. He says, "In my personal experience as an asylum seeker and refugee, I left everything in God's hands and fled from my country to seek refuge here in Scotland. It was like sailing in the boat, not sure where the waves will take me. But I had faith and trust that God would calm the storm in my life and would provide an exodus. I kept praying hard and constantly read scriptures. This provided me strength and a sense of assurance that God is stronger than my challenges and has the power to take me out of this situation, just as Jesus was with his disciples in the boat. After sailing in the boat across the channel, I was accepted as a refugee and welcomed by the people in Scotland, including my church family, locally and nationally." Yes, folks, Raheel left everything in God's hands. And, you know, I pray that when we face the really difficult times in our lives, we would all just have the faith to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and to hear him say to us, "Don't be afraid." We must never underestimate his power, his unbounded love for us. And in conclusion, hear the wonderful words of that prayer written by Paul for the church in Ephesus and for us. "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." All we need to do is to have faith. Amen. And so let's sing an appropriate hymn for this passage. Hymn 260, "Eternal Father, Strong to Save."
Deep ocean deep.
And so let's bring our prayers for others to God. Let's pray. Loving God, at this time of summer holidays, we pray for all those who are having a break from service, from work, from caring responsibilities, and enjoying different places. We pray for Norman, minister here, that he may be refreshed and restored and renewed by the time he has spent away from the normal routine, that his batteries will have been recharged. Loving God, as our new government seeks to establish itself, we pray for all those who have become MPs that they may always look for the good of all, serving selflessly for the common good. May the new Labour government seek to make this country of ours a more equal society, sharing the plenty we have with those who have the greatest need. Internationally, we pray that the government would work for peace and justice in our troubled world and show a caring face to those whose lives have been disrupted by war, by violence, by tyranny, and by famine and hunger. As many of the world's athletes gather in Paris for the Olympic Games, we thank you for the power of sport to unite the peoples of the world in peaceful competition. We pray for all the values of the Olympic movement, and we pray for their commitment to peace. We pray especially at this time for the parts of the world where there is not peace: Ukraine, Sudan, South Sudan, Myanmar, and other places often forgotten where conflicts large and small persist. Lord, as you have promised, bless the peacemakers and those who work with refugees displaced by war and famine. Father God, you know that you are always with us when we face the challenges and storms of our life. If only we would turn to you in faith, and now we would bring to you in a moment of silence those for whom we have a special concern today, those who have been bereaved, those who are ill in body or in mind, those who are caring for someone who is ill, those who are lonely, those whose lives and families have been broken by addiction, by anger, or by separation. We bring those for whom we have a special care to you now in a moment of silence. Loving God, we bring to you all in need at this time and pray that you would surround them with your ever-welcoming and ever-caring arms. We pray all these things in confidence, knowing that you are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn is 543, Longing for Light. But if Derek has it, we're going to sing a chorus after the blessing. Yes, got that? Good. Just checking. Got that? That's fine. Just checking. So we're going to sing the chorus, May the God of Peace Go With Us, after the blessing. But our final hymn is Longing for Light, 543.
Your own, your holy people. My
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now, and those whom you love, this day and forevermore. Amen.